Blog Talk Radio.
Into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I am so excited that you have joined me on today, and I just want to invite you just to come right on in and make yourself right at home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what you're facing today, no matter what's coming up against you, I encourage your heart to rejoice today and be exceedingly glad and watch God bless you in a mighty and a special way. I tell you, child of God, this is the best day that you'll ever live as you begin to just embrace everything that God has in store for you. He is going to bless and strengthen you and undergird you. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, God is able and he will do it on your behalf. Child of God, I invite you just to grab your Bible. We're going to be talking about the bread of life on today. And again, we're focusing in on the book of John. And I know you're going to be greatly blessed on today. And we're going to look at John chapter 6, verses number 51 to verse number 63. And so why don't you turn to that page, and we're going to go ahead and pray and get started right in our lesson on today. Gracious Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for each and every one of our listeners on today. I pray that you bless them, that they will be empowered and impacted by the word of the Lord on today, that you will just undergird them and strengthen them on today. And Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. And so as we get ready to read our lesson on today, I want you just again, as I said, we're going to be looking at John chapter number 6, verses number 51 through verse number 63. And it reads on this line, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh, when I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your father did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they have heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can bear it? When Jesus knew in himself that this his disciple murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? And what, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he is before? It is the Spirit that quicketh, the flesh profiteth nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So far, the reading of the scripture. And our focus thought is going to be taken from John 6 and 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, in feeding the multitude, Jesus, he demonstrated his power to nourish as well as to bless his people. And that's what we're going to focus in on today. Now, let's take a look here. Now, bread is one of the food that is common to almost every culture. Some people break bread in the long, crusty loaves or bake it into the long, crusty loaves, while others make theirs in a thin, flat cake. The bread makes the bread popular in some countries keep for days without spoiling, yet others bake their bread fresh every morning. Now, bread, as we know, comes in a variety of shapes with a variety of ingredients, but is an important part of every person's diet. Now, bread is one of the most vital items on the menu. Now, in North America, it is sometimes the main course, like pancakes, often a dessert such as cake, or often as a complement to the meal like toast. Sometimes it holds things together like hamburger buns, or one can slice it and crumble it and pull it or carve it into edible soup bowls for a wonderful round loaf. Now, many ways that you can do bread, but nevertheless, it has the same purpose, that is to nourish an individual. Now, how fitting that Jesus would describe himself as the bread of life. He is essential to the success and commitment of every culture. Ethnic tradition do not leave him confused or uncomfortable. He discriminates against no one. Now let's look at James chapter 1, verse 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the fathers of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, Jesus, he not only satisfied every culture, but he meets every need as well. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquity. He freely gave his body to be broken and battered so that he might heal the wounded spirit and nourish the deprived soul. He holds no part of himself in reserve, but stands ready to strengthen any person who desires his help. Hebrews chapter number 4, verses 15 and 16 is an invitation to all, and it reads on this line, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You'll find that again over in Hebrews chapter number 4, verses 15 through verse number 16. He is indeed the bread of life. Now let's look further. Let's look at how, and he fed the multitude. Now, miracles always going to draw a crowd. As Jesus began to heal the sick, word quickly spread. Crowds gathered and multitude followed him, hoping to witness a miracle. Their interest in watching Jesus work was so great that they followed him for days without eating. You'll see that over in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 32. Now, in our lesson today, Jesus has taught a mountaintop retreat, only to look up and see the multitude have climbed up right behind him. A natural hunger for the things of God exists in every person. This spiritual hunger is evident in our quest to understand science or to explore space, or it is obvious in the faces of the masses that fill huge stadiums to watch football games or various types of sporting events. The fortune paid to sport heroes and movie stars testify of a hunger for mankind for something beyond their ordinary life. A person will never satisfy their hunger, however, unless they allow it to be fed as well as led to the bread of life. God has chosen to display his power through his church. The uproar created in Jerusalem in the second chapter of the book of Acts continues to attract people to the miraculous power of God today. A Holy Ghost-filled congregation will always ginger the attention of the spiritually starving masses living nearby. Now, the desperate disciples, let's look at this. The disciples were a little bewildered why Jesus was expecting them to feed this crowd. He knew their meager resources. Phyllis pointed out that it would take better parts of their year's salary to give every person a small portion. Andrew had an opportunity and apparently already surveyed the crowd and determined that the only food available was one boy's lunch, and that was hardly enough to satisfy this multitude. Now, the disciple was overwhelmed when they compared the task Jesus gave them with the resource in the profession. It seemed he was asking the impossible. They saw the crowd, they recognized the need, but none could see the solution. Now, we hear the command, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. We see the teeming mass in our huge city. Our shrinking world brings us into contact with the billions around the globe who are in desperate need of the bread of life. The aroma of the task, it sometimes seems overwhelming, and it sometimes can even discourage an individual. We think our small group of believers can never accomplish such a colossal task by ourselves. Fortunately, we are not alone. Jesus empowers us to fulfill the task that is before us. And sometimes, if we're looking to our own means, I believe that we're really looking too low and too small to see what God is doing among us or able to do in and through our lives as we continue to look to him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's able to do all things but fail in our life. And so it behooves us to continue to look unto him to empower you as an individual to do and accomplish that will that he called us out to do. Now, let's take a look at the powerful Christ. Let's look at another aspect here. Jesus was not alarmed. He conducted this whole exercise for the benefit of his disciple. He already knew that he was going to do and what he was going to do. You'll see that over in John 6 and 6. Undaunted, he took charge of the situation. In feeding the 5,000, Jesus demonstrated how he planned to see his church to accomplish his work. Commissioning his disciple to deal personally with the hungry multitude, Jesus had no direct contact with the crowd. He filled every hungry mouth through the effort of men who carried bread and meat that they had received from the Lord. If the bread of life is to fill our hungry world, sincere disciple must gladly share what they receive from the master. Further, the Lord performed the miracle of multiplying the food as the disciple distributed the food throughout the crowd. The power of Jesus was manifested in their lives as they obeyed the command. These men, acting solely on Jesus' word, took handfuls of the fish and bread and watched it feed hundreds as they pulled it apart piece by piece. One could only imagine their thoughts as they took those tiny pieces from Jesus and walked towards the huge crowd that waited. With what excitement they must have felt as the miraculous power that they have observed in Jesus now worked through their own hands. The great miracle displayed on the hillside was not that Jesus could multiply the fish and the loaves, but that he allowed humans to participate in the miracle he had multiplied the fish and the bread that they handed out. Now, 5,000 hungry was filled and just appeased. And when they had eaten all that they desired, 12 baskets laden with bread stood in silent witness of his power to provide more than enough. Their need was fully manifested. Truly, our Lord is not interested in temporary situations. He deals in permanent fixes. His power is sufficient to meet every need, solve any dilemma, fill every longing, and heal any hurts. But as the scripture said over in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, the disciple's mistake was to assume ownership of God's problem. The multitude was there to see him. The desire to feed them was his desire. The disciples were there simply in obedience to his call. Among themselves, they possessed neither the authority nor the power to handle the problem. They found no solution when they tried to handle God's problem with their own resources. The task of taking the bread of life to the whole world is impossible on the disciple budget. However, God has never given us an order for which he has not already devised a plan or solution. Now, the problem encountered while obeying his words are his to handle. He still desired to display his power through the effort of his people who have surrendered their lives to his will. Indeed, Jesus displayed his power in the lives of those who walked by faith in obedience to his word. Now, let's look at the perceptive of Christ. Now, mankind's agenda is often at odds with God's plan. Now, these disciples, witness of God's power, was planning to make Jesus their king by force if necessary. Knowing their intention, he slipped away. Now, how much people have lost by trying to force God into a mold that they have developed instead of allowing God to reveal his plan in his own time and way, should rush to make him fit in their own perspective and conceived notion. However, this does not always sway God. He perceives mankind's ways, and he will not adopt his will to suit them. If they persist, he will simply withdraw. Now, Jesus demonstrated an ability that modern business leaders grow rich by teaching. He stayed focused on his goal. He stayed at task. He refused to allow popular opinion to slow his progress. He did not stop to enjoy the adoration of the crowd, but he purposefully moved on to the next item on his agenda. He understood why he was in this world and was determined to complete his work, and his commitment to his call led him to successfully accomplish it, as he described it in the prayer over in John 17:4. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. John 17:4. Now, Jesus commissioned his church in Acts 1:8 to continue his work on the earth. The church must be perceptive as to the time and season and should keep his call clearly in focus. Believers should not stop their work to enjoy the applause of the crowd. They cannot change courses to suit the wishes of modern society. Most importantly, they cannot modify the God-given commission to fit the tradition and philosophy of the crowd. God's people individually and his church collectively must stay filled with the Spirit so that they will remain true to his call. Galatians 5:16 say, and this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ephesians 5:15-17. See then ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what is the will of the Lord is. Now let's look at the receptive witness of the disciples. Now, there is little doubt that what they had just witnessed overwhelmed the disciples. Even though darkness has fallen, the day still surprised for them. As they tried to row back and across the sea, a strong wind began to blow. As the storm intensified, they saw Jesus walking on water towards the ship. The men were frightened, but he called out them. Recognizing him, they welcomed him into the boat. He climbed in the vessel, and immediately John rowed. They were safe on the other side of the shore. What contrast a day can bring. Only hours before, the sun had been shining and the disciple was rejoicing over the miracle God had worked through them. Then darkness had fallen and fierce waves rocked their boats. The miracle witnessing men of God were frightened and huddled in their ship. They were struggling to row their way through the storm. Then Jesus appeared. They then gladly received him into his boat, and immediately they reached their destination. Now, Jesus never leaves his disciples alone. When they are living in obedience to his word, his constant nearness is assured. When things got beyond human control, he always knows just what to do, in good times as well as bad. He truly keeps a vigilant watch over his people. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. There have no temptation taking you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, let's look a little further here. In the scripture, it says that eating the bread of life. Eventually, every person revealed his personal passion. Jesus confronted this crowd with the fact that they only followed him because he fed his food, satisfied their craving. They did not seek him because they desired to serve him or even to see another miracle. They came, the Lord pointed out, because he had met their need. Demonstration of God's power must go hand in hand with his compassion. Miracle impressed people, but unless they receive something that lasts when the miracle is over, they will not be truly satisfied. Now, when Moses appealed to Pharaoh to allow God's people to leave Egypt, the heathen sorcerer matched some of God's design, display of power. While God's power ultimately prevailed, as it will always will, it is obvious that our enemies understand mankind's fascination with the supernatural. However, God did not call his church to compete with Satan or one another, for that matter, to see who can perform the greatest miracle. Rather, he has called his people to serve their fellow mankind. This act of selflessness revealed the true nature of God. Mark 9, verses 35 says, "And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." Now, our commitment to love people must suppress our desire to witness miracle. Jesus told his disciples that our love for others would be the true significance of his discipleship. Now, John 13, verses 34 to 35 said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I love you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." There is no lack of supernatural power with God. He can and will demonstrate that power through his church. However, his true church, love and service, is a way of life. Now let's take a look at the true manna. For the crowd, Jesus addressed it. Bread was more than just food. To many of them, it represents life itself. They ate it in an atmosphere of respect, always pulling pieces from the loaf, breaking bread, never cutting it. Because bread was the main ingredient of their diet, they comprehended well the message Jesus spoke that day. However, they could not envision him being as necessary to life as bread. They followed him as long as he satisfied their natural hunger. They did not give him a chance to satisfy their spiritual craving of their soul. Now, mankind's natural inclination is self-preservation and satisfaction. It is quite easy to be content when you are well-fed, warm, and comfortable. We spend so much time satisfying our physical desire that too often little time is left to pursue spiritual things. Now, carnal means will never change mankind's eternal destiny. One should give serious effort to spiritual pursuit. The true manna is the spiritual food, the word of God that will strengthen a person's soul. John made Jesus' identity clear when he said, "The Word was made flesh, and we dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth," John 1:14. Now Jesus declared, "For the bread of God is that which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world," John 6:33. Further, he proclaimed, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me," John 6:38. To obey his word is to eat of the true manna. Modern man has the same jaundice view of Jesus. One may ask how the teaching of Jesus could influence the heart yearning for fulfillment. Now, the pleasure of the world appeals so naturally to the lust of the flesh that we bury the non-central call of the Word of God beneath our passionate rush to find our own carnal path of satisfaction. Now, mankind continues to disregard the true manna. Now, let's look at the living bread. The knowledge is not always easy to accept. It is often shattered long-held notion in family tradition. The introduction of truth can radically alter value system and lifestyle. Some citizens of Thessalonica found the gospel difficult to accept. You'll see that over in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. However, they could not deny its power. They described it well when they said it has turned the world upside down. No one who partake of this living bread can remain the same, for it ties the believer to the eternal world of God. The temporal no longer satisfies. The world's ways are not relevant to heaven's value system. It gives a completely new definition of life. Over in 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." 2 Corinthians 5:1 said, "For we know that if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house and a maker with hand, eternal a house not made with hand, eternal in the heavens." Now, in the Jewish home, fresh bread was baked every day. If baking large amounts, some would carry their dough to the village baking hut or to the baker's street. Because yeast was not readily available, the baker would leaven the loaf by pinching a small amount of the dough from yesterday's mixture. And then before he baked the new batch, a small portion of the now leavened dough would be set aside so that he would have enough for tomorrow's leavened bread in the same manner. In every home, there were always fresh dough ready to satisfy tomorrow's hunger. Now, Jesus is that living bread. He not only paid the price for our sin centuries ago, but he also remained near us today, ready to simply and supply what we need. He is not the stale bread of an ancient era, but he is the living bread that is fresh from every morning. Regardless of how much of the living bread one has already taken, that there remain more than enough to satisfy any need. Just as 5 loaves quenched the hunger of more than 5,000 people, 12 baskets remain, God's goodness seem to multiply more when we use it. His grace is sufficient for every situation, both of today and of tomorrow. Now, let's look at the offended crowd. Now, the Jews could not comprehend the lesson Jesus was teaching. Perhaps their tradition was too ingrained, or maybe they simply did not want to change. Whatever the case was, many of them found his teaching offensive. God's word will always produce a reaction. The prophet Isaiah declared, "So shall thy word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it." Isaiah 55:11. No one can hear the word of the Lord and depart unaffected. The hearers either will draw nearer to God or will move far away and even further away. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:6-8. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them that believeth not and disobedient, the stone which is the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient unto whereunto also they were appointed." These unbelieving disciples found Jesus' teaching dissatisfying and distasteful, and stumbled at his word. Paul proclaimed to the Corinthians, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jew a stumbling block, and unto the Greek foolishness." 1 Corinthians 1:23. One should carefully analyze his desires and motives as he studied God's word. We should not select the truth we enjoy, but we should seriously apply God's word, the living bread, as he intended it to be. The disciple who rejected the preaching of Jesus left a grave example for us. We must take his word and eat the living bread. 1 Corinthians 1:21. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Let's look further as we get ready to close. The believing the word of life. Not everyone who hears the truth desires to conform to it. Many will witness the miraculous, but will return home and settle right back into their own routine. Some will even taste of the power of the bread of life, yet revert back to the empty tradition. Even though Jesus knew which one would reject him, he still allowed them to hear his word and benefit from his presence. His church must continue to offer this living bread to every soul. We cannot allow prejudice or preconceived ideas to keep us from sharing the gospel with every person. Everyone deserves a chance to taste of God's goodness and decide for themselves to accept him or reject him. Now, the believing disciples, while many do reject the bread of life, there are those who refuse to deny the power of Jesus Christ. Their receiving him has transformed their lives and renewed their hopes and kindled a fire in their hearts. They have experienced him in fullness, truly becoming new creation in Christ. Therefore, if any man in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, these believers have surrendered to the simplicity of the eternal truth of God's word, choosing to build their lives upon the sure and solid foundation. And that's so vital for us as children of God, for us to make the choice of building our life upon the true foundation and the solid foundation. So in my closing, we must recognize carnal minds, they do miss the spiritual truth. Like the rich young man who came to Jesus with questions, Many turn sorrowful away because of their inability to comprehend God's eternal value system. Like the Jews, John had written about, many cannot fit the word of God within their tradition, so they disregard it. However, those who sincerely take his word to heart find their understanding illuminated by it. It is that light that gave Peter the simple answer when Jesus asked if he too would leave. As Peter watched other disciples walk away from the Lord, he summed up the entire situation in 30 short words. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. John 6, verses 68 through 69. That same light of truth brightened the mind of today's believer who has found the living bread to be the source of life. Just as Jesus promised, Jesus still calms the seas and the storm for those who follow him in faith. He still is concerned about meeting everyone's needs. We stand in spirit along with Peter. Some may leave, some may choose their tradition over the gospel. However, we will stay right here, safe, in the house of the Lord, which he has established for his people. For where else could we go? He is the bread of life. Only he has the words of eternal life. Child of God, I pray from this glorious lesson on today, the bread of life, I pray that you are blessed. As the scripture said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I pray that you're eating of that living bread every day, and that your life will continue to flourish in and through the things of the Lord. And as I will always say unto you, even in my closing on today, I pray that you have been blessed. I pray that it will stir your heart to go back and daily eat up that living bread every day of that manna that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ have provided so graciously for us. Until we meet again, as I will always will say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Child of God, until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. I pray that God will bless you with a no sorrow blessing. And until we meet again, encourage someone, call someone, tell someone about these wonderful lessons, and encourage them to log in to Home Helen Arndt Ministry of Empowerment. I know you've been blessed, and until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. And let there be a no sorrow blessing come to your house today. God bless you. Bye-bye.